one thing about repentance. It was like part of why I was going to speak about repentance, because it's been on my heart. And then over emerging leaders, like when Chris North was teaching us things, asking a bunch of questions. And that was one of the last things that was part of the vision and repentance. And I was like, that's so cool, because it's been on my heart a lot. I think the only thing I want to say about repentance today is that, you know, it's an absolute gift. Repentance is a gift to us from God. And I think oftentimes our initial response to repentance is things like guilt or shame or, I don't know, what words did you guys put, you know? But I think the reality is what repentance is repentance is a gift that we can actually enter into a transformative process to be able to change. And that's a gift, because could you imagine like not being able to change ever, you know? To be able to look at who Jesus is and not be able to actually be like him, that'd be heartbreaking. So anyways, if you think about it, repentance is a gift. And I think that if we believe that and we know that, we'll actually read a lot of the Bible differently. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. It's like step into a process of transformation and change so that you get to live a full life because I am here. You know, like what Jesus is saying. Anyways, I'm not going to teach on repentance, so.
So that's just a freebie.
That's a freebie. Maybe
is that,
for another
day. Like your subscription.
What's that?
Is it that for like your old Joe Olstein subscription? Like $4.99.
Yeah, if you really want to learn about repentance, you're gonna $4.99 a month. That gets you at the intro level, but if you want to upgrade, it's like $39.99, then it goes to $79.99. And that's where you get, like, you know, stuff. So, shirts and stuff. You know.
Shirts and stuff. Free stickers, free a pony ride.
Stickers, yeah. Yeah, like mugs. No, I think I keep getting pulled back to a place in the Bible I keep getting pulled back to a place in the Bible, Psalm 46. When I've led like us in like moments of silence together, right? And I say, be still and know I am God. That actually is a part of the Psalms. And I keep getting pulled back to this Psalms in different ways. Like even to the point of like, I wrote a song I didn't realize was about another part of the Psalms, you know? And if the microphones work better with this system, I'd play it right now. But if you are a part of, you know, the song that's like a river, you know, anyways, I just feel like God keeps drawing me back to the Psalms. And so like, I want to read it, but, he showed me a couple other things that I think will be really like cool to like, learn from. So I think first off, just be able to tell you kind of where I've been at. And the reason I keep getting drawn back to this place is I think sometimes I'm just like, I'm carrying like a lot of like disappointment and a lot of like hurt, a lot of sadness. And in people almost, like a lot of people, you know, you know, working with the public and that, like, I think I just have been like disheartened in a sense. And, but the reality is I was sharing that with Nikki yesterday. And as I was talking to her about how I was feeling, I realized that I was standing in judgment against people in my heart. My frustrations and anger and whatnot have led to this place where I like have been so bound up that it's like, I don't know how to let it go. And why? Because I haven't actually like, I'm not able to love them. because I'm standing in judgment, you know? And why that's a part of this, I realized that, like, God keeps calling me to a place of quiet with him. And I'm so, like, chaotic at times in my brain that it's so hard to sit still, you know, to be with him. Like, just to get a couple minutes feels like, honestly, like pulling teeth for me to be quiet. And I realize that the reason why that it hasn't been working is because I've been going out of duty, you know, instead of like sitting down with him in the spirit of like absolute desperation to just be with him, just to be with God. At the foundation of our relationship with God, like, we can have a lot of really great conversations with God, but the reality is like, there's nothing more powerful than just to be with him. And I find in that place, I actually learn things like at a different level than my mind. And so like, just to be with him actually translates to transformation. And so, so I want to read through Psalms 46, kind of talk about it just a little bit. We'll pull it up here. All right, so Psalms 46, what version am I reading? I chose English Standard Version. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And then it says Selah, right? After these different, like, it would be verses. The Psalms were songs. And so, like, there's this part after you read these sections, it says Selah. And it's kind of a mysterious term. They're not sure exactly what it means, other than it's like a term of praise, a pause, a silence. And so it's like you read this and it's almost like you imagine like singing this song out of desperation and then the music just stops so everybody can just kind of like be still together for a moment. And then the music starts back up again. Come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. I think I was reading through this and I was like, the first verse, I'm just going to call it a verse because this is a song. The first verse really talks about like God being our safe place. And that he's present and he's with us. And it's like, though the earth give way and fall into the sea, like basically what could be worse than that, right? What could be worse than everything in our world falling into the ocean, like literally, right? I think it's almost like saying like, what could be the most fearful thing that could ever happen? And it's speaking to like our safety in him. And that's the first verse. And then the second verse talks about that there's a river that makes glad the city of God. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. I think that that was the part that I didn't realize was about a song I just written. And in John 7:37, Jesus speaks of rivers of living waters will pour out from within us. And the Holy Spirit, water is talked about all throughout the Bible and in reference to the Holy Spirit. And so, like, I was reading, I was kind of, like, looking for, like, I was interested to see what people had to say about it. And I read this article, and, like, this guy was, like, from this theological perspective, basically saying that, like, the river, is, like, purely God, and that people want to, like, pull out of it, like, the rivers of living water and whatnot. And it's like, it almost comes from this, like, we are separate from God perspective. And I am just like, nothing in Jesus's life was about him being separate from us. So when you read this passage and it talks about this river, making glad the city of God, right? It is the Holy Spirit. And guess what? It's also us. That's the thing about, like, the relationship Jesus calls us into is to be one with him. And so, like, for us to be able to step into a place where, like, we actually are a river that is intertwined with the Holy Spirit. I think theology that tries to basically speak ill of humanity really sucks. I think that that's just, like, absolutely, like, it's like hypocrisy to me, you know? Because the way Jesus speaks of people, look how he loves people. If humanity was garbage, why would he have come down? Why would he have emptied himself out time and time again, to touch those that most of the world believe is worthless, cast asides, you know? And so, like, I think, like, it's okay for us to read this and see God in it, and then also to see ourselves in it as we're in a relationship with God. He calls us to that place to be one with him. And then I love it. There's this, like, display of, like, come behold the works of the Lord, how he's brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear, burns the chariots with fire. His desolations on the earth are for peace's sake. Like, absolutely, the desolation he brings, if he breaks the bow, shatters the spear, and burns the chariots, I don't think God's a fan of war. I think his power comes against everything that we would like attack one another with. And so, like, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs. So they'll be known as children of God. And I think about that and I'm like, the power of God is meant to bring peace. And then all that being said, when you're drawn into safety, you get to understand that we get to be a part of, like, the flow of God. And then it's in quotations because, remember, this is a song that's speaking about God. And yet at this particular part, God is speaking. And he says, be still and know that I am God. Like, in the midst of, like, his power, in the midst of, like, his beauty, he wants us to just be still. And for what purpose? To know that he is God. Like, when you break that down, you know, I think I want to read a passage. I think I want to ask a question before I do, though. I want to get some input and feedback from you guys. The question is, why do you think God tells us to be still? to know who he is. When I read that, I don't think it's like, I mean, there's invitation in it, but be still is actually, I believe, like a commandment. It sounds like a commandment to me. Be still. God's speaking to us. And actually, when I've learned, when I pray it and I go into, and when I go into quiet times and I speak it as though it's a command, it actually affects me differently. It quiets me. And so God says, be still. And I think if we actually enter into that with a heart of obedience, something different happens. But my question is, so think about this. I want to hear from you guys. Why do you think God tells us to be still? So that we will know he is God.
I think it's because, like, if you're just sitting still, you're not doing other things. So it's more of a, you're only focused on one thing. Mm. And so, like, that consumes everything that you're doing. So it's meaning that you're having, like, more of a more intimate, like, knowledge and understanding rather than just, like, a surface level. Yeah. On, like, because you can, like, be doing stuff and being like, oh, yeah, like, you're God, cool, whatever. But if you're just sitting there and sitting in the presence, you're gaining that full understanding and just kind of, like, I don't know. It's more of a just putting all of your intent behind that thing.
Cool. Yeah, Jayden, for sure. I don't think there's a wrong answer necessarily to this question. I really do just want to hear what you guys think about that. What do you guys think? I think I'll say something I think about it, and then if something comes to mind, I'd love to hear from you. Part of what you were saying, Chayton, and I've heard this said from this guy, James Finley, that is one of the teachers at the Center for Action and Contemplation. He says, when you're sitting still before God, it's in the spirit of, I have no other place to go. I have no better place to be right now. And so, like, in a sense, like, it's almost like the resolve. And this is kind of what I pull out of it. There's a spot where Peter responds to Jesus because he's basically offended like a whole crowd of people because he just talked about, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, right? Then you'll have, and everybody like wanders off, right? How many people are left? The 12 and maybe a few others. And he turns to Peter and says, will you go too? And Peter says, to whom will I go? Where would I go? You have the words of eternal life. And I think that's almost in the spirit of that same resolve of like, why are we still? Why do we sit with God? Because we have nowhere else to go. And Peter says that to Jesus. He says, it's out of revelation, but he's like, where would I go? He could have gone back fishing. He could have been offended and left. I'm sure they all felt some offense if they didn't understand what he was saying. But like, at the end of the day, like, what's our resolve, you know? And I think if we don't have that grounded, like, we go into the, we just are like kind of tossed about by chaos, you know? What do you guys think? Why do we sit still? Why does God call us to sit still so that we will know who he is?
I think some of it is, it's in spending time with people that you do get to know them. And with God, though yes, we can say that we're doing things with him, right? We're active, but it's really the people in front of us that we're focused on, you know, like the activity that we're doing. So if I'm like ministering to people, yeah, I'm doing that with God. The focus is allowing God to flow through us. And so like, if every time I hung out with, you know, mom. Every time I hung out with her, I was doing things for other people. I'm busy doing things. She was there, but it wasn't focused on paying attention to her, to listening, to really being present in that moment. We could still be doing things together, but I'm not going to get to know her more because my focus isn't on her. So the same thing with God. I think it gives us that focus time. And I think with the being still, because in those moments to really focus on him, there isn't something else that we should be doing. There's not something else to do. You know, and like, and I think some of the most intimate times that we have in getting to know people is sitting and listening to them. Right. And so like, I understand people a lot more when I hear their stories or I give them a chance to speak. And so just being still and just knowing who people are, it's the same thing, you know, with God. It gives it that focused attention.
Yeah, for sure. It's good, Josh. I think, I wrote this down. I was thinking about this. And I think, out of honesty, and like I'm telling the story, what leads me to teach about this, but like literally, I just feel desperate right now. You know, I feel like I'm teaching about what I need the most. You know, and I think when we sit quiet with God, you mentioned it changing, it's like intimate, you know, it's an intimate time. And I think what happens is like legitimately, spiritually speaking, we get naked before God. After some minutes have passed, we get vulnerable by just being with him. And legitimately, I think that the reason we're supposed to sit still, this is one of the reasons, right, is that God wants to bear witness to us. I want to ask a question. I just want everybody to answer a single word. I'm gonna give you some words that you can use if you have a hard time thinking about it, or you can kind of shoot whatever, but I want to know a feeling you're all feeling right now. It doesn't matter if you know why. You can know why, and maybe it would help to talk to somebody about it. But the exercise I want to do is just legitimately everybody unmute and one at a time, you know, just kind of like, I feel sad. I feel lonely. I feel fear. I feel joy. Whatever the feeling that kind of comes to mind, I just want you to say the feeling that you're feeling. That's it. Josh, what about you?
Content.
Intent?
Content.
Content?
Josh stole mine.
Okay. No. You guys got other ones. You didn't steal yours. Everybody's still, Josh is just stealing everybody's feelings?
Yeah, I texted. I told him what mine was.
Oh.
And he's like, oh, that's good. I'm going to use it.
I think try this. So, some kind of feeling. Just everybody pick one that they're feeling. I know this might actually be harder than it seems.
I definitely... you said lonely. I definitely feel lonely.
Okay. Yeah. What about you, Dan?
I feel pretty happy. Resting.
What about you, Chayden?
I can't use content. Can I use calm?
Sure. Mom, what's a feeling you're feeling right now?
I was thinking of different ones, but I think anticipation. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, Jake, what's a feeling you're feeling?
Unsettled.
Okay.
In like a cultivated kind of way, if that makes sense.
In like a what kind of way?
Like cultivated. Like I'm not quite. Roots aren't anchored. Unanchored, I guess you could say.
Yeah. You can see on there, David and Kyle, do you guys have a feeling? Just a kind of a one word feeling. What are you feeling?
I'm feeling chillaxed this week.
Relaxed?
Chillaxed.
Oh, chillaxed. Okay. Awesome. What about you, Kyle?
I don't know. I feel like I can relate to a lot of those feelings that everyone's feeling. I feel kind of a lot of, you know, sometimes, I don't know the words to use, but sometimes anxiety, but sometimes, like, feel okay, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to encourage you guys to, like, share how you're feeling with each other more. You know, we can talk about it. If anybody needs to talk about what they're feeling, you know, I've got ears. But legitimately, I think the reason I ask that is because even in the exercise of saying something that you're feeling makes you feel seen. And when we sit with God, we have this idea that, like, it's a communion. I don't know exactly what happens to us, but I feel like he wants us to sit with him so that he can bear witness to us. He sees us, you know, and when we sit with him, sometimes our minds kind of get in the way of like us being able to just actually like be with God, because we'll try to convince ourselves of things and we'll kind of like do these different things. And I'm not saying don't talk with God with your mouth, but I do believe that, like, at the foundation of our relationship with God, at the foundation of communication, it is silence. I think the most beautiful things are born out of silence. And so, like, we, to be intentional of being quiet with God, and then you can have, like, this, like, different kind of conversation as well, but like the power of listening too, like what Josh was saying. I want to read a passage in Mark. It feels ironic, but I don't think it's ironic. I think it's just the way that we're, I'll just say it. So, like, I right now am talking about, like, how important it is to be quiet. But, like, we all have something to say as well, you know? We all like, are looking for ways to speak, to express ourselves. And that can be through, like, music or through written word or through or actually speaking with our mouths or, like, the ways that we love people and the ways that we do life, like, I believe that everybody is called to express who they are, right? Jesus is called the Word, or the expression, the very expression of God. And so, like, that's why he's called Word, because it's almost like what comes out of the mouth of God is Jesus. Like, right? So, like, what comes out of our mouths? What is it that we're looking for to be able to, like, express and give to the world? I'm going to read this. It's a healing that happens in Mark chapter 7. Starts at verse 31. It says, after this, Jesus left the coastland of Tyre and came through Sidon on his way to Lake Galilee and over into regions of Syria. Some people brought to him a deaf man with a severe speech impediment. They pleaded with Jesus to place his hands on him and heal him. I want to point out before we move on, I feel like it's important. This is something I've never noticed before. But the man that they brought to Jesus was a deaf man with a severe speech impediment. So a point I want to make is like, and I thought about this the other day because I had mentioned him some weeks back. We have a customer who's deaf. He does not speak. He has a hard time speaking. His problem isn't that he's mute. His problem is that he can't hear. You hear what I'm saying? So if you can't hear, if you're deaf, your speech is affected. That makes sense? Okay. So Jesus led him away from the crowd to a private spot. Then he stuck his fingers into the man's ears and placed some of his saliva on the man's tongue. Then he gazed into heaven, sighed deeply, and spoke to the man's ears and tongue. Eth pethach, which is Aramaic for open up now. I want to pause. I want to go back. I'm kind of like going to do this thing where I go back and forward a little bit. Okay. It's kind of, it's so funny, like the saliva thing, like, what's that? Jesus gives this guy a wet willy, Nikki said, basically. Yeah. I think it might have gotten recorded a little differently, but like, I think there's some humor in all of this, you know? So. It says he stuck his fingers in the man's ears and placed some saliva on the man's tongue. Then he gazed into heaven. So he gazed into heaven. And actually, it says he sighed deeply. That was like his prayer. So Jesus, in the moment of like, he is in the process of about to command healing over this man's ears and his tongue. And his prayer to his Father is a sigh. He looks up to heaven and he sighs. Says that once the man's ears opened and he could hear perfectly, and his tongue was untied and he began to speak normally. Jesus ordered everyone to keep this miracle secret, but the more he told them not to, the more the news spread. The people were absolutely beside themselves and astonished beyond measure, and they began to declare, "Everything he does is wonderful. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." I think it's a really cool, it's a really an amazing clip. I love that. Mark is all about these really short clips, a lot of healings. But if you notice, Jesus heals the ears and then he heals the tongue. And my point is this. We sit with God and we listen so that we can speak. If I'm not quiet with God, if I'm not listening, I'm going to make up my own stuff. I'm going to allow the world's theology to dictate some of what I believe and some of what I say. The importance of learning to listen and the importance of learning to hear him. I just don't, I mean, there's just nothing, I don't think, it's almost like you, I want to talk about it, but how can you explain it? You know? I think I'd really like to hear if anybody has any thoughts, to be honest, you know? Because, yeah, it's, I'm kind of just like, in a place of like, in a sense, lost for words, you know? So.
I wanted to share something I did this week, and I've been sharing it with a couple people, was if you're a Catholic, they teach you how to give things up for like before Easter. Mm-hmm. This week, on TV. So from Sunday to last night, no TV. I just listened to like really meditative music, and I was able to spend time with God, and I'm telling you, it was the best week I've ever had. No, you know, I mean, I was able to get a good night's sleep. I was able to focus in on, I mean, I had, when I opened up the Bible, I didn't know what the hell I was going to read. I just wanted to read. But I'm telling you, it was probably the best week I've had in a long time, because I didn't let outside interferences bother me. Put a note on my door saying I'm not home so people would knock, turn the TV off, put do not disturb on my phone. Occasionally would call somebody to let them know I was okay, and just spent time with my meditative stuff. And I'm telling you, I felt like a million bucks, but I had to watch Peter Pan last night. So, but, and I'm really seriously, because there's nothing really good on TV, going to try it again this week. Well, when you get up, I think God looks at that and blesses you more, because you're giving stuff up that you normally would do for Him. So I don't know, maybe that's just me, but I mean, TV for me is a major part of my life, and if I can give it up, I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Cool. It's rich.
I think to add to just being still, I think it's an important practice to have, because I, like, as someone who's like constantly busy, I think I've missed a lot of opportunities personally where God is speaking, and because I was so focused on like everything around me or to like how to react to things, instead of like you said, when Jesus like side and just like took a moment, I think I missed opportunities for the Spirit to talk to me or to move, because I'm so focused on like everything constantly happening around me, you know, especially today's age where like technology makes things like happen instantaneously constantly. So I guess a huge practice of that is to kind of just like pause for a moment so you can focus in, because like when you said, you know, we listen so we can speak, and I think it's just like, I'm asking myself, how many opportunities have like I prayed and like felt like God really hasn't answered me, but he was answering me, because I didn't hear it because I was too focused on everything else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good, Jake. I feel the same. I feel like I'm so busy all the time. So busy. There's like nothing more important than I can be doing than like doing nothing with God. If you read the Gospels, and I love it, there's passages on that talk about how Jesus goes alone to pray, you know, like, it's almost like when you read them, there's one, I can't remember, I was trying to find it. It says, Jesus went to a lonely place to pray, you know, like alone. And it's almost like you can just hear the aching to be with his Father, you know. I wrote something singing to be still and know that I am God. And what I wrote was, unless we spend time with God listening, the world will dictate what we believe about who he is. Well, so it's like, why are we still to know that he's God? And what is entailed in all of that? Like, that's a mystery. It's like, that's a never ending thing. A cavern just filled with like truth about like his protection over us, his character, his intentions, his love, his kindness and compassion, like all of the things that pour out about who God is. And then if I don't spend time with him, if I'm not still letting him teach me about who he is, I'll even open the Bible up and read about a wrathful God. Like, read the Old Testament. If we don't understand God's heart, we can hear a lot of things that are not about who he is. What else do you guys got? Any thoughts?
I wanted to share one thing, Aaron.
Yeah, Mom.
It's the meditations I've been doing in the morning. This week was on finding the awe of God. Mm. And the scripture, one of the scriptures that I read was in Revelations 4. And it was just, oh my gosh, just amazing. So this is John, and he says, instantly I was taken into the spirit realm, and behold, I saw a heavenly throne set in place, and someone seated upon it, and his appearance was sparkling like crystal and glowing like carnelian gemstone. Surrounding the throne was a circle of green light like an emerald rainbow. Encircling the great throne were 24 thrones with elders in glistening white garments seated upon them, each wearing a golden crown of victory. And pulsing from the throne were blinding flashes of lightning, crashes of thunder, and voices. And burning before the throne are seven blazing torches. And in front of the throne, there was pavement like a crystal sea of glass. Around the throne and on each side stood four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature resembled a lion, the second an ox. The third had a human face, and the fourth was like an eagle in flight. Each of the four living creatures had six wings full of eyes all around. They worshiped without ceasing day and night, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the was, the is, and the coming." And whenever the living creatures gave glory, honor, and thanks to the one who is enthroned and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell face down before the one seated on the throne, and they worshiped the one who lives forever and ever. And they surrendered their crowns before the throne, singing, "You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things, and by your plan they were created and exist." And I, oh my, after I read that, it was just like, oh, just, I am so in awe of God and his greatness. And just, you know, there's a scripture that says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And that word fear, it doesn't mean to be afraid of God, but it means to be in awe of God and who he is. Mm. And he is just so amazing. Mm-hmm. And he wants us to get to know how amazing he is. And that's spending time with him and being still is crucial. So anyway, one amazing experience. Yeah.
Thanks, Paul. I don't want to miss anything you guys want to share. I do want to spend a few minutes or so together doing this, you know? So, I don't know, maybe let's do it, and then anything anybody wants to share afterwards, why don't we do that? So, anything else you guys like to share?
So I actually just got like this feeling, the way that I can describe it, I don't know if it's for me, but like I just feel it could be someone in the shop or just like who we're with, but like there's this huge, heavy, damp, humid feeling of melancholy that's just like resting on someone. I don't know. Like that's just the word. Like I was trying to figure out like how to describe the word, and that's like the word that came to me was melancholy. So like I don't know if anyone's feeling like that today, or for whatever reason, they're just feeling like just heavy, humid weight of just like melancholy. They're just like, am I making sense?
Yeah, I think so. Like
heavy. Humid bog, just like melancholy, like it's just you're having a day. Someone's having a day.
Is that there anybody on here? Anybody?
It could, like I said, it could be someone in the shop, so.
What do you want to? You want to pray, Jake?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. God, I just pray for this thick and heavy feeling, God, that this weight of melancholy would be just lifted off, Lord. I pray those who would just feel yoked to it right now, or just feel like this pressure on their chest of shaking this feeling, being pushed down, Lord. I pray that weight would just be lifted off and they'd be allowed to breathe and just like find rest in you and continue on with their day, and that would be broken, Lord, and that they would just begin to start the day over and have it turn over and begin to have it be something fun and new and just find enjoyment today, Lord, and that they'd just be able to shake off that weight, Lord, and just not let it follow and drag behind them for the rest of their day, Lord. And that whatever it is that may be weighing on them or feeling that pressure on them, Lord, but I pray that would be released. I pray for release and peace and enjoyment for the day, Lord, and I pray that they would just find peace and purpose in you, and they would just continue to just push through it, Lord, whatever the circumstance would be.
Thank you. Thanks, Jake. Anybody need prayer for anything? I know you guys are working on your devotional stuff. Yeah?
Yeah, we're like 4 chapters done out of the 5, and like we're moving in spurts, but it's like at the whim of the Spirit, we're hitting these spurts where we just write. It feels really inspired.
Cool. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward to reading it and getting back to you for sure. You know,
awesome. Appreciate it.
Oh. I just pray for inspiration, you know, that the Lord would give you dreams and you would be able to like connect things. It would be like things made simple. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Anybody need some prayer for anything? Want to share something? It's a beautiful day outside. Next week's supposed to be like high of 44. So, Chayton, I saw that.
Happy about it?
No.
Oh.
Oh, no, I like the cold, but I got to do some classes for my motorcycle stuff. And
oh,
looking forward to doing that in the cold.